Good place to be this morning. And I thank God for every opportunity that he's given us to be here. I thank God for everyone that is here. We're going to be preaching by the help of the Lord out of the book of Ephesians, if you have your Bibles with you today. It's going to be a little bit before we get there, maybe just a minute or two, so we won't tell you where we are. Don't want you all standing. Unless you're asleep, then you'd need to stand up. But I hope this is too good. I mean, I don't know how anybody could be asleep right now. And thank God. The thought we had this today was really simply this, and it's a simple thought. It's one that we overlook oftentimes, and I believe it's one that the world has a problem seeing. Something that should be evident to everybody. But I fear that so many people are caught up in today in the world that they just don't see how clearly it is. It was simply this. God will do for you what you can't do for yourself. There's a lot of people in this world trying to do things on their own. And some things they can do by themselves. But there are some things that you cannot do for yourself. And we're going to get in the book of Ephesians in just a minute, but I thought, we've come to the house of God. Thank you, Jacob. We come to God's house. We're here in the house of worship that we might praise His name and glorify Him. Amen. That we might lift up Jesus Christ, our Savior. I was reading this past week and I told, I believe I made this statement to Mary. It could have been Josh or someone else, but I was reading this past week and it said that there was a man, I don't know where he is, maybe he was in Japan, and some of you might have seen this. I don't do a lot of watching of television. I'll scroll through news every now and then. But it said this man was over $12 billion in real estate, probably one of the richest men in the world. And there he was, this simple, frail man. He was an elderly man, and he looked somewhat frail, but he had a big smile on his face. Some might look at that man and say he's smiling because he don't have a care in the world. His children, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, everybody he knows is absolutely set. You want to know why he was smiling? The man did an interview. He sat down with a young man who was interviewing, and this young man decided he wanted to be mentored by this man because this man was a billionaire, and this young man thought he would learn from him. You want to know what the elder man told him? He said, "All the things that I had in life, there was one piece missing. None of the money mattered." He said, "The one piece missing in my life was to know the Lord through Jesus Christ." And I thought that, I read the headline and I thought, somebody actually gets it. Listen, I'm glad when somebody finally, the light shines in their life. And I'll say this, that man didn't wake up one day and decide he was going to do that on his own. Hey, listen, God shined His light down to him. And you might say, well, he was rich. I don't care if you're rich or poor, black, white, male or female. It don't matter. God is not a respecter of persons. And He will do for you the things that you cannot do for you. Hey, listen, I'm glad He did. And I thought about what it was. Hey, listen, we talk about the life of Christ. We study the life of Christ. We meditate upon the life of Christ. We pray. Hey, listen, because of Jesus Christ, we have access to the Father through the Spirit of God that was delivered unto us because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, you want to know what Jesus did while He was here? I know He was 33 and a half years old. And some might look around and say, hey, nobody can accomplish anything in the life of in 33 and a half years. If you want to be truthful about it. Hey, listen, His real service to make Himself known unto everybody started when He was 30 years old. So in 3.5 years, I'll say this, of this one man, hey, listen, this Son of God, hey, listen, God incarnate in the flesh, He did more in 3.5 years than anyone else ever could. Hey, listen, and He still does more today, 2019, than anyone else ever can. He'll do for you the things you cannot do for yourself. And when I say that, I mean nobody can do for you those things. Jesus in His life demonstrated the power of God through all the miracles. that he did in order for people to understand the nature of God's love towards mankind, God's love towards all the creation that he had made. And listen, and God's ability to do all things. Some might say, well, I wish Jesus was here to do the things that he did in those days. You realize he healed the sick. And listen, he touched the blind. He fed the hungry. He raised the dead. You want to know why he did all those things? He didn't do those things so he could get glory and honor. He did those things so that people could see the Father had all power. And he was demonstrating, listen, the power of God through his life. And thank God, I know and I fully believe that when he went away and he said, I'm going to send you a comforter, that he'll come down, he'll abide with you, he'll be with you, he'll answer you, he'll guide you, he'll walk for you. What was he doing? He was going away, and listen, so that the Father would send down the Holy Ghost and do for us the things that we could not do. Listen, Jesus showed his love. That showed the love of God through his acts of compassion towards the lowest of people. There were times in the Bible, we're going to get the scripture in a minute, we'll try to hurry through. There were times in the Bible when the Pharisees and all the self-righteous people that thought they were better than everybody else, they looked at this man, Christ Jesus of Nazareth. I believe it was Nathaniel, one scripture, he said, can any good thing ever come out of Nazareth? And listen, there was another time they looked at him and they said, that man is sitting among sinners. All I can say is I'm thankful that Jesus has set among sinners, because if he didn't sit among sinners, none of us would be here today. Hey, listen, we would all be without hope. We'd all be lost and trespassed and dead and on our way to destruction. Jesus manifested the mercies of God by going to Calvary and giving his life for the very creation that rejected his word, defiled the law, and denied his authority. That's exactly what he did. Hey, listen, he did all these things. His whole life was a manifestation of the mercy and the glory and the grace of God, the Father. And then when he was getting done in the later in the book of John, when he got in a place and he prayed by himself up there and they wrote it down and recorded. Hey, listen, he prayed for the disciples that were with him. He prayed for those that were out into the future that would listen and obey. Hey, listen, and repent and be saved. He was praying for me and you is what he was doing. Hey, listen, he told the Father, he said, I've not lost any of them. Thank God. Hey, listen, not only did he have mercy that showed towards us, he's got the ability to keep us and hold us. I'm not going to be lost tomorrow. When the Lord saved my soul, he saved it forever. And here it was, Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12. And you can go with me, if you will, in Ephesians chapter 2, because that's where we're going to be reading here in just a minute. But in the 12th chapter of the book of Romans, as Paul was, hey, listen, he was talking to his loved ones over there about the reasonable service and what it was to God and how they should be presenting their bodies holy and acceptable unto God. He told him, he said this, he said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So salvation is a transformation. I want you to understand that this morning, because a lot of folks get it confused that they think salvation is something that's just a word spoken, that because you go to church, somehow you can claim salvation, or because you have a Bible, you claim salvation. But hey, listen, when you are saved and you get salvation come to your house, there's a difference made. It's not conforming to the things of God. It's not conforming to the Word of God. It's being transformed by the renewing of your mind. I believe it was Paul that told Timothy over in the second chapter. He said, Timothy, you are called by a holy calling. Hey, listen, in other words, it's not just anything that brought you out of sin. It was a holy and a just and authoritative God that saved you. And he shed his blood for you. And he put his mercy upon you. And he has overshadowed us with a spirit. And he said, might I remind you, Timothy, that it was in your grandmother and it was in your mother, and now it is in you. It is to one generation, to the next generation, and to every generation. And it's to our generation. And you young people here, it's to your generation. And it's to those that are out ahead of us. And it was for those all before us. Ephesians chapter 2, if you have your Bibles. I'm going to read a few verses, say a few things by the help of the Lord, and we'll send you on your way. And we'll have Brother James in a minute come and get a song. And we'll give you opportunity to be born again. And I say this, you don't have to wait for the preacher to get on the altar. If the Lord's dealing with you, I would run to the altar if I was you. If God is knocking at your heart, don't wait for the man behind the pulpit to give you an invitation. It's not mine to give. It's God's. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 1, he says, and you, he's writing to the church in Ephesus here, he says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, I like that part, whenever the Bible says God, but God, or then God, that's always something good's coming after that. Because whenever God does anything, something's about to happen. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. You can be seated right there. But we know in chapter 2 of the book of Ephesians, oftentimes it's quoted in verse 8, where grace is, he says, for by grace you're saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. I started out by saying that God will do for you the things that you can't do for yourself. And it's likened right there that it is the gift of God, not of yourself. But so Paul was reminding him here in the verses 1 through 6 here that he was telling them some things, and he was reminding them of some things. And really the points that we want to bring out today with the heart of the message is, first and foremost, he was reminding them of what they were without God. And that's the hard part, because oftentimes we don't like to see what we are without Christ. But I'm glad that God's mercy shows us what we are without him. I could sit here and tell you that you're lost till I am blue in my face, but I will never be able to persuade you, to get you to understand how lost you are. But you let God come down and deal with your heart and knock at you, hey listen, and show you through the word, and deal with you through the Spirit of God, and he'll show you right where you stand. Apostle Paul was telling him here, he said, and you, he's talking to those that were saved, he's reminding them here. He said, and you hath he quickened. The word quickened in the Bible means he's made you alive. In other words, you were dead, but now you're alive. Hey listen, he said, you didn't do this for yourself. He said, but God has done this for you. He hath quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Hey, listen, so therefore all the sin and nature, all the sin was imputed. And some of you might say, well, I don't like the fact that the Bible tells me that I'm a sinner. Hey, listen, before you get too high-minded, let me remind you that the Bible tells us we were all sinners. It didn't put you in a special category. The Bible just lumps us all together because that's what we are. The Bible says that by the offense of one, sin was imputed unto every man, woman, boy, or girl. But it also says by the obedience of one, hey listen, that every man, woman, boy, or girl can have justification from the sin that was imputed unto them. Hey listen, so when Adam fell, we all fell. But when Christ rose, we all have opportunity to be raised, to be alive. Hey listen, and so when Paul's reminding him here, he's telling him you were dead. Hey, but Paul could have said, let me tell you something. I was dead also. But you might be dead in your home. You might be dead in your life. You might be dead at work. You might not know the first thing about church. The first thing about the gospel, the first thing about religion. But Apostle Paul could sit there and say, boys, let me tell you, I was dead right in the heart of the church. I was lost and I was steeped in religion and I was still dead. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter your upbringing. Paul was telling them we're dead, trespassed in sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yep. So Paul's reminding him, he said, you were dead in trespasses and sins. So not only dead in trespasses and sins, you was lost. People always say, and I've said that before, and I'll say it again, I'll knock anybody, will say, I found the Lord. I found the Lord. Well, the Lord wasn't lost. You was. He found you. Hey, I didn't come to church looking for the Lord. I was lost. When you're lost, you don't know where you are. You don't know where to go. I don't know what steps to take. I didn't know what direction to head into. Hey, listen, I've heard preachers say I was lost as a ball in high weeds. I've heard people say I was lost as if I was in the midnight and it was dark. Whatever you want to frame it, however you want to imagine it, however you want to put yourself in that situation, the simple truth of the matter is we lost. Didn't know where I was. Didn't know how to get out of being lost. You could seek one way or seek another way, but you're trying to do things on your own and you're still lost. When I was lost and I wanted to be saved, right? I thought I wanted to live right. I wanted to be peace. I wanted to have that justification. I wanted to have peace with God. But I wanted to do it on my own terms. I wanted to do it my way. So in the natural state of man, to do things your way is you're like the rich man that come to Christ. And he said, what must I do? And Christ said, well, he said, you know the law. And he ran through. He said, don't be a thief. Don't steal. Don't covet. Hey, listen, obey the law and all these things. Christ told him, thou shalt not kill. And he rattled off a few of the things of the law. Man said, I've done all that since I was young. In other words, in his own mind, he was justifying himself right before Jesus Christ. And Christ said, well, you lack.
That's right.
You lack. Amen. You remember the time you that are lost, or you that were lost and now you're saved, you remember the day when the Spirit came by and said, you're lacking.
Yeah.
You're lacking. And you thought everything was good, and that man did too. And Christ said, sell everything you have and give to the poor and follow me. In other words, what Christ was telling him was, forget what you're trying to do and what you've thought is right and depend on me. How do you get born again? You repent. You lean on God. You trust in Christ. You put your faith in Him. And Paul's telling him here, he said, you were trespassed in sin. You were dead and you were lost. Hey, listen, you were going down life's road. But God has quickened you. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world. In other words, you're walking according to your nature. The nature of man is to try to do right. I believe everyone should be given a moral compass somewhere along the way in life. And they know that try to do right. They try to do right by their neighbor. They try to live right and pay their debts. They don't try to steal. Don't try to be a thief. But in all those things, as good as you are, you're still walking according to the course of this world. And you're still lost. According to the prince and the power of the air. In other words, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You know what Christ told him on one occasion? They come to him, all these church leaders. He told them, he said, your father's the devil. I mean, that's what Jesus told them. I mean, how would you like to be sitting among the self-righteous in a congregation of 1,000? Hey, man, I don't care if you're the head of the Sanhedrin court. I don't care if you're the Pope. I don't care what you are. If you don't know Christ Jesus, your father is the devil. If you're walking to the nature of this world and the powers of the air and the spirit of disobedience is working inside of you and all you have is a head knowledge and a head religion and all you have is a think so and I hope so and someday I'm going to talk to God and maybe I'll make it in by my works. The Bible says you're lost. Christ Jesus told them that they were lost. And Paul's telling the people in Ephesians here in the church of Ephesus that you were lost. He said that's what we were. But I'm glad I don't have to stay what I was. Why don't I have to stay that way? Because of verse 4 when he says, but God. You realize today that God did not have to do for you the things that you couldn't do for yourself. God did not have to show His love. God did not have to give His mercy. God did not have to send His Son. Hey, listen, God didn't have to do anything. And if He would have done absolutely nothing, He would have been justified. And He still would be God. But He sent His Son because He loved us. He sent His Son because He didn't want us to stay dead. He said, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherein He loved us. He loved the creature far more than the than the creature loved the Creator. He would have been justified to wipe us all away. He would have been justified to cast us out into utter darkness. Completely justified. But instead of wrath, He gave us mercy.
Amen.
Instead of sending judgment, He sent His own Son. And He moved with great mercy and compassion because He loved us. He said, even when we were dead in sins. What that means is when we were cussing God, denying God, and hating God. I mean, we were all together out so far. Those that don't even have a recollection of God, He still loved us. You realize Christ died for every sin that was ever made, listen, ever known unto man. He took everything to Calvary. Every offense was nailed there. Hey, listen, He became sin on the cross so that you and I could have forgiveness. So that we could be born again. So that we didn't have to stay dead. So that we could get out of the grave. Hey, listen, we could escape the bonds of, hey, listen, of our father, the devil. So that he wouldn't have chains on us. We didn't have to listen to him any longer. We weren't subject to him any longer. But he saved us. He didn't conform us. He transformed us by the renewing of our spirit and our mind and our bodies. And he put us in a holy place. And he planted a hedge around us and he covered us in his own blood. And listen, and he said, now this is my son and you can't touch him. He's mine. I've sealed him. I've paid for him. His name is written in heaven. And there's no demon in hell that can sift him and take him out. And there's no body in this earth that can take him away from me. And even when he's far off and he's struggling in life and he's in a valley, he'll know that I'll be there for him because I love him and I saved him. I'm telling you this morning, it's good to be a child of God. I'm telling you, when you realize that you can't do these things for yourself and you render them into the hands of Jesus and you turn them over and you say, Lord, here I am. And you're just like blind Barnabas. Hey, listen, the world will tell you to shut up. Satan will tell you to hold your peace. And they'll tell you, not now. He'll tell you, you've got time. He'll make every excuse with you. He'll deal with your mind. Hey, listen, he'll tell you to sit there and get it later. But you ought to be like that blind man and just raise your hands and say, Jesus, have mercy on me. Thank God, and he will have mercy. He'll come to your house. He'll knock. But he loved us, he said. Even when we were dead in sins. What did he do when we were dead in sins? He has quickened us together. That's a word we overlook oftentimes, but there's that word quickened again. He has made us alive because we were dead. Because we were in sin, because we were trespassing. We were outside of the bounds. We were not justified in ourselves in the eyes of God. But thanks be to God, we have justification through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he said he has quickened us. In other words, he has made us alive. But he did not set us on an island and he did not set us alone. But he has quickened us together with all those that are born again. But best of all, he has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved.
Amen.
In other words, the Bible tells us that we are heirs of God.
Amen.
And joint heirs with Christ. In other words, because of the blood that Jesus shed and we have put our faith in Him, because of the grace that God has given unto us, we are saved by the grace of God through faith. And by that grace and through that faith, we are counted as the blood. Hey, listen, of Jesus Christ that has covered us. We are counted as children. Hey, listen, having received the adoption of the Spirit of God through the blood of Christ. Hey, listen, and God now looks at us, not as strangers, not as outcasts, not as dead, but he looks at us as his children who are alive and alive forevermore. How do you know that? Well, the Bible teaches us plainly that if you have not the Spirit of God, you're none of his. I know the world don't particularly care for the preaching of the Spirit of God. They don't care for the preaching of the blood of Jesus. But I'm telling you, there's a transformation that takes place. Because when you cannot get down on an altar and pour your heart out to a living God, and listen, and cry out upon, cry from the altar for the blood of His own Son to cover your sins and wipe away your sins and renew you and make you alive. And hey, listen, and repent of everything that you've done and hand your life over to God. I've never met anybody that goes through that process where God touches and God floods their soul and fills him with the Holy Ghost that has ever gotten up and said, I'm the same that I was. Hey, listen, you're not the same. You're new. And when you get up off the altar and the Spirit of God is flooded your soul, you know you're new. You've been changed from the inside. You're not conformed to anything. When I got up off the altar, I wasn't the same person. I was transformed. My mind was different. My heart was different. My love was different. And the things, as Apostle Paul wrote to him, that I once loved, I now hate. And the things that I, hey listen, I despise, I cling to, I love those things. Hey listen, I never heard Amazing Grace sung so sweetly until the first time I heard it after I was saved. The best I ever heard it. I never sat through a message from a man that preached the gospel. Listen, I never sat through one and thought, man, that was really good. When I was lost, I would say, that kind of hurt. I hope I'm not like that. But you know what? God, in His great love, kept sending me a message. In His great love, kept showing me where I was, who I was. And I said this, and Brother Jim and I talked about this just recently. God did not give me a picture of heaven the day that I got saved. God did not show me something beautiful and heavenly, and He did not show me any sweet flowers. He did not let me hear any precious music. He did not show me the things that He has in store so that I would go, I want that. What He did show me was completely opposite. What He showed me was outer darkness. What He showed me was eternity separated from my loved ones. What He showed me was, hey, listen, a fiery place that I was going to burn up forever and ever and ever, and there would be no hope. And I was absolutely heading to that place, and God was absolutely justified. Is God going to send people to hell? Absolutely not, but He will let you go. He will, but before you go, He'll give you every opportunity to come out of there. He'll give you every chance that you can escape. And what He showed me that day was a place where I was headed. And when I saw the place where I was headed, I knew I didn't want to go there. Amen. And He showed me also that the only way of escape was to get on an altar, repent of my sins, and believe on His only begotten Son, and have my sins washed in the blood of the Lamb, and be justified through the blood of Jesus, and be made alive. What was He showing me? It wasn't about conforming. It was about transforming. It was about being renewed. As Christ Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Right. This is a concept that escapes the minds of man. It escaped Nicodemus. He was one of the higher ups in the church. And he didn't understand it. He said, I can't go back into the womb. He was carnally minded. Christ had to remind him of the spiritual things. That which is born of the flesh of the flesh. That which is born of the spirit of the spirit. God didn't come to save your flesh. If your flesh was saved, you would stop aging. If God saved my flesh, I would be young all the time. If God truly was to save my flesh, death wouldn't have any power over it. I would have no sickness in this flesh. I wouldn't have any aches and pains in this flesh. But God didn't save the flesh. He saved the spirit. He saved the soul. He saved that which was inside. The flesh was formed from the dust of the earth. The soul was breathed by God. So God saves the soul. So what happens to the soul? It's not destined for eternal darkness and death. It doesn't die. I'm not going to outer darkness. I'm not going to that place where death and hell is going to go. I'm not being cast out forever separated from God. He saved my soul. He sealed it. It's been covered. It's redeemed. It'll never die. It'll be with Him in heaven forever. Not because of me, but for by grace are you saved through faith. God can do for you what no one else can. and you can't do it for yourself. How hard is it to get saved? Boy, what a question. There was a jailer in Philippi one time. You all know the story in the book of Acts. Paul and Silas found themselves there in the inner prison. I mean, they were in the inner prison. They were in the place where they were in stocks and bonds, and the guard himself was given charge that if anything happened to those men or they escaped, the guard's life was in jeopardy. You know what the Bible says? It starts off, it says, but at midnight, what happened? God began, they began to sing and pray to God, and God moved in the jail. And he shook the bars and everything there. And the jailer come in, and he asked that one question that everyone asks. What must I do to be saved? What do I have to do? Some hard thing, some laborious task? Do I have to give something? What do I have to do? Paul said, repent and believe.
Amen.
In the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You shall be saved. What did Peter tell Cornelius when he went to his house? The man was lost. He wanted to be saved. Peter went down there and he said, repent and believe in Jesus Christ. And you shall be saved. You know what? The jailer got saved. His whole house got saved. When Peter went down to Cornelius' house, Cornelius got saved. His whole house got saved. Hey, listen, there's power when people get born again. You have an effect on those around you. Don't ever let Satan tell you that people won't like you. Hey, I don't care if the world likes me or not. I'm going to heaven. And I have enough love for them in my heart that I want them to go to heaven. Don't worry about the hatred they have. For Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Titus, we were all that same shape. We were all living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. That's what we were. He said, but thank God after that, the kindness and the love of God towards in Jesus Christ towards man did appear. He said, it wasn't because of anything we did. It was because of his love towards us. He had a purpose. Christ's purpose was to seek and to save that which was lost. Brother Dylan brought that out the other day, and I've heard that brought out many times. I haven't brought out myself. That which was lost, we was all that. We was all lost. Stand to our feet today. I don't know your heart. I don't know where you stand with God, but you do. And I don't know what you need, but you do. If you're lost, you need to get on this altar. I know that much. You need to pour your heart out to God, repent of your sins, and be saved before it's too late. If you're walking through a valley and you need help, let me remind you of the God you serve. The one that's able to pick you up, carry you, and help you through every valley that you will ever walk through. We try to limit God every day. We try to limit God in our life. We try to limit God and we put him in a box and we relegate him to a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Wednesday night. We say, I'll go about my life and I'll do all these things. And then when I'm deep in a valley and I need help, I'll call on God. I'm going to tell you something. We ought to be calling on him every day. We need his help every day. If you're here lost today, you need to be saved. If you're out of God's will, you need to come back. Get those things cleared up. Get the rubbish out of your life. Sometimes folks allow the world, they allow things in their life. We was talking in Sunday school this morning about the preparation of the altar and what had to be done to prepare the altar. And as it was said in Sunday school, a lot of times folks get to the point where they think it's good enough. Well, that's good enough. But if the rubbish is still in the way and there's still things in the way between you and God and you can't serve him because you've got garbage in there and garbage in your life and things ain't right, you need to get those things taken care of. What's the best way to get them taken care of? Well, the best way is to quit trying to do it on your own and come and ask God for help. Listen, here's a time right now for you to be saved. As I said already, I don't give the invitation. God gave the invitation. Christ gave the invitation when he said,
All you that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me. I'll give you rest. And might I say in 2019 that Christ's arms are still stretched out, the blood's still sufficient to cover your sins, and the invitation is still being given to you and I. Every heart, every soul that has ever born, Christ has bidden him to come, pleading with him to come. I believe with all my heart that every person that's ever taken a breath in this life, every individual that ever comes to a point in their life and they realize that their sin imputed unto them, I believe that God gives them an opportunity to be saved. Every last one of them. I believe that because Christ said he come and he died for all of us. He gave his life for all of us. You want help in this life? I've said this so many times, I'm going to say it again right here. Jesus Christ will make everything in your life better. I mean, I know there's marketing commercials that come on that tell you can't live without this, and you can't live without this gadget, and this gadget will make this job easier. Let me take a moment and just tell you what Jesus will do for you. He'll make everything in your life better. He'll make your relationships better. He'll make your day better. He'll make your sleep better. He'll give you peace. Even in troubles and turmoils that you go through in life, even in sickness, God will make it better. When you have to lay a loved one in the ground and separate from them, your relationship with Christ will make it better. He'll comfort you. Give you that assurance that everything's all right. It all starts by a simple act of repentance. For by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's free. Absolutely free. But you got to come. He's calling. Oh, what a change could be made in your life just taking one step. You realize this morning that one step can bring you out of the depths of hell and put you in the portals of glory. How far apart are those two places? Oh, but how quickly you can escape one and gain the other. One step, one prayer. Salvation is not a hard thing. It's not something you conform to. But it's giving your whole heart, believing in Christ, being born again, being transformed forever. I hope and pray today that you take the message and the service with you. We've got something to rejoice about, church. We've had 3 souls saved this past week. We ought to be lit up. I mean, we go for a long time wanting to see people saved. And when people get saved, sometimes we act like there's no difference and nothing new happened. We ought to be excited about what's going on. And we ought to have a burning desire to see our lost people saved. To our visitors, I want to say come back. I want you to always feel welcome. You should feel the love of God in this place. And it should overshadow and overwhelm you. There are no big I's or little U's in the house of God. And listen, we're just trying to be mindful to the Spirit. And so I hope you enjoyed the service. Hope you come back and be with us. You're always welcome. And to the members, I'll say, you're a member. You're expected to be here.
And so you might say, well, I don't like that. Well, read the covenant that you made with the church whenever you joined, and you ought to be here. So don't get mad at me. I'm just reminding you. All right? So remember all these things. Come back tonight. Well, before we announce, has anybody got anything on your heart? Someone else. We're thankful that Brother Jerry come through his test. He's still doing some biopsies on some things, but we trust that everything will come back good. I don't know if you all heard Sister Barbara or not, but she requested prayer for her son. He's lost. And so pray for him and his wife and their whole family. Remember them when we pray. Someone else? All right. If not, in the way of announcements, folks, tonight, 6 o'clock, remember the services this evening. August the 11th is homecoming, so remember that, and it'll be at 10:30, no Sunday school on August the 11th, and we will have the afternoon service at 2, and no evening service. Then also, September the 6th, the Primitive Quartet is going to be at New Haven Missionary Baptist.